Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Final note for the draft from me, or at least from the draft for me, is this. So, Texans' second round pick is Caden McDonald, Ohio State defensive tackle. First time they've addressed the defensive tackle position that high, I think, in the Caserio era. Or at least certainly the D'Amico Ryans era. I don't remember a time they addressed that position with that type of draft capital. They were willing to go higher than that, according to, I believe it was Jeremy Fowler, ESPN. Now, I found this particular tidbit amongst an article titled "Houston Texans Nick Caserio nearly made a massive mistake." And I was like, what? What did he do? Considering stuff in the news, considering guys associated with the Patriots. I'm like, huh, what did he do? Turns out the massive mistake was nearly trading up in the first round for Caden McDonald, as opposed to only having to trade up into the second. I was like, all right, you a-holes.
Massive mistake.
Yeah, I was like, what are we talking about?
Massive mistake.
Nick Caserio nearly made a massive mistake. Well, he was willing to trade up back into the first round at pick 28, which weren't they? So they traded up for Rutledge.
Yeah, I think they went, 28 to 25?
He was willing to go back to that spot. I guess deal with the same team again to get to McDonald if he had to. Yeah. It turns out he didn't make that trade. Oh no, sorry, he was willing to trade back into the first round after dealing the 28th pick away. Let me correct that. Yeah. So they moved up to get Rutledge, and then he was willing to get back into the first round to get McDonald. Fortunately, he didn't have to give up so much. He stayed in the second round, moved up a couple spots, and took Caden McDonald. So they really wanted that player. They have made trades across the draft, depending on need and BPA, and it was brought up to him how many trades he's made. He was unsure. I think it was on the Pat McAfee show. They brought up the number of trades he's made, and he was like, yeah, we like to be active, but he and rightfully so didn't know a number. I think he was a little surprised actually by the number he heard. But
I feel like it's 75% of the picks they make
aren't where they were originally supposed to be. Yeah,
like I mean, both of their first two picks they moved up. You know, and you don't really think about it because it's 28 to 25 and whatever 39 to where's McDonald, like 36 or something. So they're like small moves up. But they are very active, and obviously we talked about how in previous years in the first round they've traded down. So it is like I've noticed I've just become numb to it of like when they trade up and stuff. I'm not like I don't get the like, oh, you know, like on Thursday night I wasn't like, oh, they traded up. Like what? I'm like, yeah, they're just whoever they're going to pick at 28, they moved up to.
Yep.
Like this is just what they do. They just move around.
And also the thoughts of how exciting this player is going to be that they're trading up for never crossed my mind.
It'll
be some trench player that they really love, and yeah. I've accepted that. Now they have made trades in different rounds below the first round to go get a skill position player, like they traded a future third rounder to move up and trade and pick Woody Marks last year. So I could see some of that in day three and day two. But when it comes to the first round, if any movement is made, it's because either someone took their guy and they were willing to drop it the second round, or they don't want to get snaked again, but it's not going to be for some guy that's going to get, like, the casual fan, if you want to call him that, excited because it's someone that'll go score touchdowns or pick the ball off.
I wasn't like they're going to get Jadarian Price or anything. You know, just like, yeah.
Oh, look, he's made a move. Nick does this.
Yeah, they did. They just want to pick now.
And he would have done it again if it worked out a certain way. But instead, he was able to give up a little less capital to get Katie McDonald, which I love. I do think that was one spot they needed, and they were aggressive in trying to get it done.
On Thursday, I was like, oh, this is probably going to be McDonald. Just cause I was surprised that Banks went before McDonald, frankly, with the Vikings at, 19? So I didn't really want Banks. Just big guy with a lower body injury. It's just like, not on your way into the NFL.
You're not,
I could maybe deal with it once you're already in the NFL, but on day one, being like, well, we got to watch out for his legs. It's like, he's going to weigh 330 pounds for the entire time he's an NFL player. It doesn't seem like it's a risk worth taking. Obviously, the Vikings decided to take it, 10 picks before the Texans were scheduled to pick. So I was like getting into a little bit of McDonald watch. And so they end up getting him on Friday anyway. Glad Caserio avoided making a massive mistake.
That's why
don't we frame it as he failed to trade up into the first round? You know, like we're really playing the result on massive mistake. No, we don't. What if someone did? What if the 49ers that instead of taking that Ole Miss receiver, they're like, actually, we didn't think McDonald would still be here. We're picking McDonald. Like, it could have been a massive mistake not to trade up.
Particularly if you love the player so much. I guess the thought
is, massive mistake.
You were going to get him in the second round. Just think of what you would have given up to move up maybe five spots beyond what you actually moved
massive.
Up. Either way, it's massive. It was clickbaity. It got me.
It did work.
I just assumed it was a big deal, but there was something inside that did have some substance, that they really liked that player and they were willing to make even a more aggressive move if they had to. Speaking of aggressive, good old Shiloh Sanders. Shiloh Sanders, the middle child of Deion Sanders. He made a training camp last year. I don't believe he's on a roster as it stands right now. His more famous brother is Shador, and a longtime Cleveland reporter, Mary Kay Cabot, said that Deshaun Watson is leading whatever race they're having for the number one quarterback in Cleveland. And that's a straightforward report. If you've talked to people inside the Browns organization and you see that happening, and they're, or at least they're telling you that's happening, okay, that doesn't seem like anything that should get a reaction out of anyone, even if you are the brother of the quarterback who's being passed up. She then also went on to say that the Browns should just name Deshaun Watson the starter and let this first-team offense cook. And that is what upset Shiloh Sanders. Sean, did you type in Shiloh Sanders and see what he said?
Yes.
I saw a smirk and a laugh in there. I assumed you did.
I knew what he said. I didn't know what the context you, leading him to say. So it being a report about the Browns quarterback situation as it stands in late April is a little funny for his response.
And his response after she said they should name Watson the starter as soon as possible to let the starting offense start to cook together, he responded with, go make a sandwich, which you could say, certainly, hey, that seems pretty sexist to say to a woman.
It does seem that way.
Yeah, very much so. seems that way. If you are being gracious to Shiloh Sanders, if that's something you would like to do, you could also say, hey, he's just very clever. And she said, start to cook. And his response was, oh, you want to talk about cooking? Nah, there's no way I can get there.
No, this isn't.
There's no way
there's
I
not
can.
A triple entendre.
It's
here,
very but... tough for me. I was trying to find a way to think into the mind of someone defending Shiloh Sanders or even him defending himself, saying, no, I'm just making a joke about her.
Yeah.
Going to make a sandwich because she said, start to cook. Nah, I can't get there.
No one really says cook a sandwich, which is
and that's the other thing. It's even if he was just making a play on the whole thing, no one really cooks a sandwich.
Yeah,
so
said like go cook a, I don't know, baked ziti or something.
So she, yeah, possibly. So she responded with, "Hey, it's something that women face, and that's the sexist thing, and so on and so forth." And then he said she needs to kind of get out of her emotions on his Twitch. So. The back and forth is there. He accuses her of always saying something negative, having something negative to say about his brother. I don't know what so – it's not great to hear your brother might get passed up by Deshaun Watson, who doesn't have a sterling reputation. Forget about the off-the-field stuff. He wasn't a good quarterback. He hasn't been a good quarterback since, like, 2019, honestly. We're talking about –
2020. He was good with the Texans when they won four games.
Okay.
He was so good that
– That's true.
J.J. Watt apologized to him.
That's for letting him down. That's true. So, but we're still talking over half a decade now.
Yes, and that he was good, and that team won four games.
Yes.
So, I understand why that's not like a.
You're right. The 2019, the 2019 version of Deshaun was not as good stat wise, but yeah. That team made the playoffs. So you're right. He hasn't been a good quarterback since 2020.
That is where my defense of Deshaun Watson
begins and ends. Okay. Yeah. Let's everyone know. I'm not. Me, not really defending Shiloh. You, not in any way, shape, or form defending Deshaun Watson.
Clarify.
Except for a correction, because we like to be correct here about this about timelines. It's been 6 years since he's been a good quarterback. So if you're the brother of a player who's competing with him for that job, you might want to go, hey, what are we talking about? That guy's not good.
Yeah.
Well, the hint is that your guy's not good either. Your guy wasn't good last year either. Now they have a new coach. They have brought in a new offensive line to try to help the matters. The Browns are in a tough spot where Deshaun Watson is the better option, and he's so much better that there have been reports about how they should just get it over with and name him the starter.
Yeah.
But according to Shiloh, she's being a little emotional about it.
If my brother was in the Cleveland Browns quarterback room, especially this one, I think I would have an understanding that, like, hey, listen, everyone's going to get their turn at some point. Like, everyone, like, Deshaun Watson, even if he gets handed the job tomorrow, like, I'm not sitting here being like, and it'll be 17 games of Deshaun Watson football, and the stylings of which we'll get to enjoy. It's like, no, he'll play four games and either get hurt or stink so bad or. You know, at a certain point, the Browns will be so bad that they're like, all right, let's play the one of the two rookies that we played last year or that we drafted last year instead of this guy who we're going to cut the moment where it's financially like feasible to do so.
I mentioned things I think would be funny in the playoffs. The funniest thing is he plays well enough that not only does he take them out of top quarterback position as far as drafting, they actually start considering, you know what?
Build around Watson?
That's too far. But you know what? 2027, bringing Deshaun back on a one-year deal.
Better
option do we have?
Yeah. I mean, we'll knock down the APY a little. But.
That is, in fact, that's what I'm hoping for the Browns.
Or AAV.
He starts. They start to cook. Shiloh can make sandwich jokes throughout the year. And they're too good to be in a spot to pick a top quarterback.
Yeah.
But not good enough to make the playoffs.
They go 6-11.
And their options are scrap heap quarterbacks or just running it back with Deshaun. That's what I hope happens to the Browns.
I mean, again, they drafted two quarterbacks in 2025. Play one of them.
Nope.
I don't even care which one.
Don't do that.
Dylan Gabriel.
Send Dylan Gabriel to the Falcons so you have three left-handers in that room and have Deshaun compete with Shador, eventually beat him out, and he is not 2019 or 2020 Deshaun, but he's good enough to say, hey, you're the 20th or the 21st best quarterback in football. You know what? With our defense, that gets us to a spot where we, with Quinshon Judkins and the revamped offensive line, Jerry Jeudy, Casey Concepcion, Denzel Boston, we could win 7 games.
He can be our Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Positive, parentheses, complimentary.
Like, but not Daniel Jones where you're 7-1, 8-0, or whatever the hell they were before he got hurt. But not that version. We're talking about, hey, we're a little feisty from time to time. We're not a joke. We win 6 or 7 games, and we're in an awful spot.
7-10. Like, Cleveland Browns fans are not so spoiled, and also they've had plenty of top picks where they're not going to turn their nose up at a 7-10 season.
It would be the worst thing. It would be the worst thing to happen to them next year to go 7-10. And I'm rooting for it.
No, come on.
It would be the worst.
Winning some football games?
That's not a win. It's
going home happy 7 times next fall?
And having Deshaun Watson do it. Like, if Shador does it, you can convince yourself that, hey, there's something there. Maybe we found our guy. If Deshaun Watson does it, perfect for me. Because why would I hope for Browns happiness? And why would I hope for Cleveland fan happiness? I'm not looking for that. Let's go.
Yeah.
Give me Cavs
make the finals and the Browns go 8-9. They're alive for the wild card in week 16.
I need the Browns to fall in line with like the 11th pick in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the funniest. As someone who's interested in a quarterback's well-being.
Yeah, the 11th pick in the draft. They're not in a spot to get the top of the draft class, and they don't have the ammunition to move up.
Yep.
So
you'll take Sam Levitt and you'll like it.
If you're lucky.
You'll have to trade up to 8 for Sam Levitt and like it.
What are the chances Sam Levitt does enough?
He's my favorite
to be considered a top 10 pick.
Tier 3. Like, when you see the like graphic of, you know, years past way too early's big boards, and you're always like, Sam Howell?
I know.
Spencer Rattler?
Yeah.
I like
Drew Aller?
My favorite thing, more so than all the draft analysts the week after the draft looking at tape of guys that won't be drafted for another 12 months. My favorite thing is not to try to predict who will be the number one pick, but try to predict who is the guy in the conversation that we're like, how the hell was this guy ever in the conversation? I like that. The Cade Klubnik Award, the Drew Aller Award.
Who was the Virginia Tech quarterback who turned into a tight end in the pros who was at Mel Kiper's number one overall pick?
Logan Thomas?
Yes. Do you remember how people were talking about Logan Thomas?
Exactly. Cam Newton got Logan Thomas so much PR.
That man,
because they're like, he's big.
Man wound up a tight end. I think he might still be playing. Or at least he was.
He was a couple really years ago. Recently.
Yeah. So there it is. Make me. At least he didn't say go make me a sandwich. He said make us go make a sandwich.
In general.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be for me. I don't even know how good you are in making a sandwich, but go make one. That was Shiloh Sanders and his comments, because someone dared to suggest that his brother wasn't going to win the quarterback job in Cleveland, because apparently she always has something negative to say. He did clean it up. He goes, there's plenty of women in this field that take this seriously and take reporting on football serious and actually do homework and study the game and get the stats right and get the news right. But with you, it's so much emotion that I don't want you to make women look bad. Ah, he's an ally to all the other women who are good at their jobs.
Yes.
I don't want you to make women look bad when it comes to reporting, because you don't have the will to actually report real things that are going on. Huh, okay. So Shiloh would actually just like Mary Kay Cabot not to bring other women down.
Yeah. He's
got it.
He's looking out for the Kimberly A. Martins of the world and the Mina Kimes of the world.
The ones who do it the right
way.
That's
why he told Mary Kay Cabot to go make a sandwich.
He could have, yeah.
By the way, he seems a little emotional. He's doing the thing.
That is the thing, isn't it?
He's pretty emotional by one report.
Yes.
Or even one reporter's.
He could have simply ignored it.
12 months
Because
of
if
work.
He says it's not real, just have your brother go out and prove it's not real.
He's only been on the Browns for 12 months. Yeah. Like, it's not like this has been some long-standing. No. This is not Scott Foster and Chris Paul. This is just.
She's writing negative things about his brother every couple weeks, apparently.
Right. So she's maybe written, what, like 50 things? Like, once a week for a year?
No chance she's written that many negative things about him. Another good point by you. as far as who's being emotional here, it'd be you, Shiloh.
He's talking about on Twitch.
You have a vested interest in what's going on there. You are certainly biased by the participants. We're done with that. And now we get to Michael Carroll. Michael Carroll joins us up next. If you got questions for Michael, 713-780-3776. You made a prediction, Sean, about Lakers-Rockets. I've been pretty much wrong on this series since the jump. I thought the Rockets would win by five. Win in five, and then I thought the Lakers would win. Yeah.
Joe made me do one for Rocket Power.
In five when it was 3-1. I honestly have no idea. I'm just going to assume the Rockets win, and because I've been wrong on all of these, Lakers win in a runaway. Congratulations, Lakers. You get the Thunder as your gift for taking out the Rockets. I hope not, but I just have not been able to put my finger on how things will go. But another chance for this young core to show themselves as maybe not a contender this year, but at least the groundwork being laid to maybe be one in the near future. All right, we'll get to Eric and anyone else who wants to talk to Michael when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll's here with us. Michael Carroll got in early this morning.
Yeah, it did.
Is it because of you left early because we were involved in a party last night? That's why you got in early?
I tried to get in early, get my stuff done. Also, I needed to finish up writing up notes and stuff, because I was going to do that last night, but by the time I got home, like I was telling you, I wanted to watch Man on Fire and all that. I was like, I'm just going to go to bed.
I showed the fortitude to watch an episode, mostly because I can't go to sleep at a normal time.
I didn't have that fortitude.
I respect it. You got to go to sleep. Fortitude is more like my body clock's all screwed up, so it is. Just what it is. So I watched, as I said earlier, an episode plus, and I'm in on that. Let's get to Eric, and then we will talk about what you should or shouldn't watch this weekend, and maybe into the week. What's up, Eric?
Hang on, I'm doing. Yeah, Michael, I heard there's a Django Zorro movie in the works. Hopefully that's true, because that'll be exciting. Also, I heard there's a Bane Deathstroke movie, live action, that's coming as well. And also, a Dynamic Duo animated one, which I'm excited for as well. And Bill, you should watch Man on Fire. It's a really great series. I think it's better than Toxic Avenger. I think you'll enjoy it. I recommend you watch it.
Too late. You're not mind tricking me. You're not gonna Jedi mind trick me into not watching it because you said I've already started. The rule is, well, mostly it's just a Toxic Avenger thing. You're not gonna trick me, Eric, into not watching it. I've already started it and I like it. Sorry. Don't hate. I get it. You love a thing that I don't love. It's life.
That's his baby.
Yeah, I get it. But it's not for me, because it's for you, honestly. I'm sure it's great, but I'm never going to find out.
It's an out of spite thing?
Yeah, and you mentioned it again. That's another 2 weeks.
So what is it, 4 weeks now?
If I really take count, it's 2031.
Oh.
If I just go by how many times he's mentioned it on the show, it would be. It's about 5 years, but since I just started it, it's 4 weeks from today.
Dang. All right.
He won't be able to hold off, so this thing will continue until neither of us are here on this mortal plane.
All right. Well, to what he asked, the first one, it is true. There is a Django Zorro crossover in the works, live action film.
What's the explanation for why this is happening?
There was a comic run that Quentin Tarantino.
So there is some background.
Yeah, there is some background to it. It was received really well, and so now it was like, let's take that story and make it into live action.
Jamie Foxx and Banderas, who's going to be Zorro?
The Zorro, I don't know.
But Jamie Foxx will be?
Jamie Foxx, I would imagine.
Okay.
I would guess.
Is it a Tarantino joint? Or is it going to be?
He probably produces it. He probably won't direct it.
Got it.
I assume. But like, it's a very early, but yeah, that one's for real. Deathstroke and Bane, still not a thing. Like, it is a thing, but it's not. Like, there's rumors about a script out there in the works, but James Gunn hadn't really said anything, so I don't expect that coming anytime soon, if at all. Dynamic Duo, we know that animated feature is in the works, but that's more like 2028, something like that. So it's going to be a while before we see that one. And Deathstroke Bane, I want it, but I wouldn't hold your breath.
I wonder how you're selling Deathstroke and Bane and how many people are going to those two guys or those two characters and something.
There was an idea at one point where Deathstroke would be kind of like the Raid Redemption or Judge Dredd, okay, where Deathstroke's fighting all these different villains and whatnot and trying to fight his way out. And so I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. And then Bane got in the mix, and then I don't know whatever happened to that idea / script. So, because at that point, Joe Manganiello was still tied to Deathstroke, and then, of course, that all has flung by the wayside.
Where is that guy?
He's doing D&E or something like that.
Okay.
James Gunn has told him as much as, like, I'm not bringing you back as Deathstroke, bro. I'm sorry, but you're too old for it now.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And they're friends. Like, he told, like, they're friends. They're cool, but.
Sorry. I only have one. I have only hold enough space in my heart for that animated dog. All my other friends.
And his brother.
All my
his
other
friends. Brother. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All of my other friends.
Yeah. The sorry. NASA's gun gets to be in these movies.
Wow. Star of Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, that's true.
The NASA's gun. Let's get. And Star Strong, featured player on Gilmore Girls, I guess I'd say. Let's get to Tony. He wants to talk Daredevil. What's up, Tony?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on the, I guess, the season finale of season two, Born Again, and what you think the synopsis or overall theme might be for season three. Hauling up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tony. So we do have to host a Comicast. I neglected to mention that earlier. He does that with Jong Lee.
I do.
And their latest edition or issue is on season 2, episode 7, The Hateful Darkness. So if you want a full-on review of Daredevil Born Again, that's the place for it. Like, Michael can give you a cursory glance at what he thinks, or at least give you a little bit of that. But if you want the full thing, because Michael understands spoilers are important, so he doesn't give it all away here. Comicast, wherever you find a podcast, Comicast is there for you, and you can listen to it here on ESPN 97.5, generally on Wednesday night. So, as far as the Daredevil Born Again season 2 finale, maybe you give a brief synopsis of what you think, and also the season as a whole.
Well, to correct one thing, season finale is next week.
Oh, okay.
We still got one more episode.
One more
left.
Episode, okay.
Episode 8 wraps things up. But I understand that feeling, because episode 6 felt like a penultimate episode with everything that's gone wrong, gone wild. I mean, there were so many things that happened in that episode. It felt like where are we going to go next? And episode 7 brought things down a little bit after those highs of episode 6, but still delivered different aspects. With this is not really a spoiler, a return for Matt into the courtroom setting. So having that situation with Matt and a new aspect for the season finale and where that goes for the court case of the century, and seeing Wilson Fisk, really, he's in a different sphere in terms of his mind state right now because of things that have happened in the season. And so he's just lashing out and doing things randomly. It's set up a lot of interesting things, as well as in regards to season 3, I think you get a real strong tease to that with the character Matthew Lillard plays in Mr. Charles. He basically kind of describes what characters we think will be coming back. Luke Cage, Iron Fist, them. He's basically describing what we feel like why they're gone, why they're not here. And it's because they seem to be working together, maybe. That's not like a full thing, but it's an interesting how they're going to pull those characters back in, as well as others, and still try and wrap up the Wilson Fisk angle. Because this is not definitely not a spoiler, but in terms of Brand New Day, it doesn't feel like Wilson Fisk is the mayor of New York. So that feels like it's got to wrap up in the season finale with what's occurred in New York at this point. It feels like it should wrap up in the season finale.
So I got one more episode next week. Michael will cover that. on Comicast. If you he did his level best to not give too much away, but talk about what Tony wanted to discuss. So if you want the full on review or spoiler free or not spoiler free review, a spoiler filled review of the latest episode, go to Comicast, listen to it wherever you find a podcast. Issue 644,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
He will break it all down along with Jong. And you know, they have special guests at times too, so Comicast is where you need to go if you want the latest and certainly the things we talk about here. We will get into things you might want to watch this weekend or not, depending on what Michael thinks. That is coming up next as part of what we do here every Friday with Michael Carroll, what you should watch or shouldn't watch. We'll do that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show. That's kind of full of sports, but also filled with a lot of movie talk. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
This very segment was created because of what Michael said. We try to, you know, sometimes I'll have an aside during the bulk of the show, Monday through Friday, but we try to center it around here. So we put it all in one spot so you guys can know when to call in and talk about what you're watching. Michael, we took some questions from people. We certainly can take calls continuing throughout the segment, 713-780-3776. But let's get to it. I've mentioned Man on Fire. You'll take a look at it at some point. Mm-hmm. Besides that, or maybe you can talk about what the people are saying about it, what else is out there for people to go to see in a theater or to stay home and watch?
So theater-wise, the big release is, of course, The Devil Wears Prada 2. Not really my purview, not really a big fan of the original or anything. Also, I was looking it up, the original movie came out the month after I graduated high school. So it's like it's been 20 years since this thing has been a thing. But it seems to be getting solid reviews so far. So if you're a fan of the original, maybe check this one out this weekend. I didn't get a chance to get an early screen or anything.
Meryl Streep sucks. We get it.
No, don't you do that. No, Meryl Streep. No notes. Meryl Streep is good.
There's some things you don't even joke about, Sean.
Yeah. Don't cross those lines.
What's wrong with you? Just like,
No, I'm not cool. I'm not cool enough to get an invite to Devil Wears Prada. Meryl Streep made sure.
I feel like you'd have to dress up. Like, you'd not like,
yeah,
like in costume, but like.
Like, actually, like, have fashionable choices.
Yes, you can't wear, like, a polo shirt. You know, like, yeah. You can't wear what we
wear.
Yeah,
see, as soon as I saw, actually, that's what happened. As soon as I saw that, like, come in your best or whatever, I'm like, right. I'm out. I'm just going to have to
read
about it.
I don't have any new Chanel to wear, so I guess I'm out.
Yeah, I missed or out on the Gucci or old, new, all that. Nothing. So Devil Wears Prada is going to be probably the top box office draw this weekend. Omaha is a little, like, quieter film that I would definitely recommend, more of an emotional type one. It premiered at Sundance last year. A father conceals the truth about his family's seemingly spontaneous cross-country road trip. Of course, financial crisis, all that, starring John Magaro. That one's going to make you cry. So if you want to watch something that will make you cry, Omaha is out there. But if you're looking for something scary, the new Adam Scott film Holcomb is out there. That trailer creaked me out, man. I don't know if you've seen the trailer.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's terrifying. I don't know. It's a folklore horror film where a horror writer visits an Irish inn to scatter his parents' ashes, unaware the property is said to be haunted by a witch. This is from Damien McCarthy. Now, it's weird because he puts a space in the McCarthy.
Yeah, I'm looking at his name listed, and I don't know how you get there. MC space Carthy.
And it's also like, other places will have it spelled normal, and then other places will not. So I don't know how he's, I don't know. But Damien, this is his third film, his third horror film. All of them have been very good so far. So Holcomb seems to be right there playing for horror fans. So if you want to go check out a very terrifying horror film, maybe go check that out this weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking at bits and pieces of the trailer. I don't like the mask on this.
No, the mask, that's the one thing that creeps me out the most. I'm like, nah, yeah, man, I can't do that.
I'm not liking it at all.
Now, I think you might be okay with sharks, though. There is a shark movie out
there. Well, I did take a look at Thrash. Not great.
No,
I'm not really
great.
Not worrying because why would I? I'm questioning what the former star Bridgerton is up to. Season one. I can't say her last name, so I don't want to do that. But I thought there was better things in the future.
Well,
but right now, she was in a thrash movie.
Well, now you can depend on formerly Harvey Dent, Aaron Eckhart, to save the day.
Oh, I know what he's on at this point in his career.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens in Hollywood, but when you are in a Nolan movie and Nolan doesn't bring you back for anything.
That's a red flag.
That's a red flag for
me. That's a red flag for you.
Yeah, he loves repeats of his people.
He'll bring people back.
Yeah.
He didn't get a look at in Tenet. He didn't get a look at in Odyssey.
He's not in the Odyssey.
I
don't know what the deal is.
Oppenheimer, there's 75 different people in Oppenheimer.
Didn't get one look at there. No, nothing. Dang. Well,
yikes.
That's why he's doing Muzzle and Muzzle 2 and now Deepwater. But Deepwater is like solid reviews. A flight from Los Angeles to Shanghai goes down in the middle of the Pacific. After surviving the crash, the survivors soon discover they're not alone and they must survive the shark-infested waters. Also starring Ben Kingsley and Angus Sampson.
I can never get a feel about what he's on. Like, there are some things that he'll still do that are critically acclaimed. And then, you know, Wonder Man, critically acclaimed.
Great, yeah.
And then he'll just show up in things like, man, you have Sir in front of your name. What are you doing?
Sean, we talked about this movie earlier this week. Probably the biggest box office bomb in recent memory.
Yeah, the Anthony Mackie movie.
The Anthony Mackie movie came out last week. Ben Kingsley is in that movie, too.
Nice. Get that money. I think that's what Sir Ben Kingsley's on, is saying yes.
Team cash those checks.
He's saying yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of bombs, I think Animal Farm's going to be a bomb this weekend. This is the Andy Serkis directed animated adaptation of George Orwell's classic work. It just looks bad. I don't care who you have in it. It's got a full Woody Harrelson, Glenn Close, Steve Buscemi.
See, I never understood. That's right for adults, right? Because if you're a kid, do you care who the voice actors are?
No.
For a cartoon?
No, I don't think so.
That's slanted to you for you to watch? Why would a kid care if Woody Harrelson's the name, a talking pig or whatever character he was?
Karen Culkin?
It's cool.
You know what? I'm a kid, I'm like, I do like Karen Culkin.
Seth Rogen?
Really, welcome to Succession.
Really like that table scene in Succession.
Yeah.
With him and his dad.
Well,
in that phone.
Him and Jerry? Yeah.
Great.
Well, if you're if your kids are like the critics, 26%. Yeah, no, they're going to hate it. So I would hard pass on that one. That's one you should definitely not
watch.
What's
the one that people like about with the sheep trying to solve
sheep
a crime?
Detective.
Sheep detective. That one is going well. Better as far as reviews.
That one's going well, and that one will come out next week. So you got that.
Okay. So if you're looking
for
talking animals.
For
preview, exactly.
But this is that's a live action movie with the talking sheep,
that's
right?
A live action one.
Yeah. I know, the sheep talk, but it's still live action.
More grounded.
Yeah. And it's a murder mystery. Let's get it right. Yeah, exactly.
Sheep solve murder.
Yeah, exactly. But Animal Farm, it's about communism and the dangers of communism, but, you know.
Heady stuff.
If you're thinking about watching this movie, read the book.
Yeah, just read the book. You know what? Read the book.
Honestly,
like 10th grade English class. Yes. Just read the book.
Just read the book.
It's better. Read the book.
And if you want a family kids film, there is a film that's on streaming that I would recommend over this one. I'll get to that one here in a second, but I do want to quickly mention, in limited release, One Spoon of Chocolate, RZA's new film. Maybe wait till streaming.
Okay.
Maybe wait till streaming. I had high hopes for this one too, and I think RZA lost the grindhouse. Like, it's a very grindhouse, like over the top 60s, 70s vibe, but he loses the plot a little bit in terms of balancing tones, and the second half is where it really kind of falls off the rails. 31% with critics right now. Maybe skip that one. Now, when it comes to streaming, we've talked about Man on Fire. I want to see Man on Fire. I'm excited to start that. Yahya Abdul-Mateen II.
Oh, sorry. One Spoon of Chocolate.
Go ahead.
One Spoon of Chocolate has a Crash Out Spider-Man.
Yeah, Shameik Moore. Yeah.
I might have to support this movie.
Go ahead. Have fun. Now, we talked about Man on Fire, but Widow's Bay, I might put
on people's
radar. I've watched
the first couple episodes of that.
Enjoy it?
It's sufficiently weird and and creepy. So I like the first couple episodes.
It's being, everyone I've seen so far loves it. 100% with critics, 93% with audiences. A New England mayor trying to boost tourism on his island must navigate strange events, suggesting it might be cursed. This stars Matthew Rhys.
Yes.
I forget how you say his name.
You would have known Rhys, I believe. You would know him from The Americans. He played the counterpart to Kerry Russell's.
And I think he did the Perry Mason, like,
yes, he did.
Remake, reboot.
Yeah, had a couple seasons on HBO Max.
It's a solid balance of horror mixed with, like, I guess dark comedy and
because of where it's set, I just assumed Stephen King was involved, but he isn't, which is surprising considering the subject matter and the area of the country it's set in.
But I've seen that description as well for it. Yeah. So this one and Man on Fire are like my top two picks, I would say. Go check out one of these. Let me get to the family film since I teased it. Did you know that Michael B. Jordan's next film is out today?
I did know he was involved in an animated
feature,
but I did not know it was out today.
Is it what is it?
Swapped, a Netflix animated adventure it's 100% designed for young kids. A small woodland creature and a majestic bird, two natural sworn enemies of the valley, magically trade places and set off on an adventure of a lifetime. Freaky Friday, but animated.
Both birds?
Yeah, a bird and an otter.
They're natural enemies?
I was going to get to that.
In this animated feature film. It's also not based, like...
So who's hunting who?
It seems like the bird
would normally
the otter.
What kind of bird are we talking?
It's fantastical. Like, that's not a normal bird. Okay. It's not a normal bird.
I don't see a lot of bird on otter conflicts in nature.
There's also like dogs with branches on their heads. Like it's different.
I have seen this trailer. Yeah. Right. Let's remove what we think this should be.
What normal? Yeah. Bird.
Not going back
otter.
To back on Oscars. You're saying?
Well, I don't know that it won't be good. I just know the rules that we normally apply to nature. Yeah. We shouldn't apply to this movie yet.
No. Yeah. Exactly. And you know, it's again, like, if you're looking for something for the kids, Swapped is it. Like, if you want to just put them onto something
if your kids love Sinners, yeah, you should.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Michael B. Jordan's in it? Oh, Sinners? Yeah, exactly.
No, the kids are Smoke and Stack. Are they in it? Yeah.
Yeah. Lord of the Flies,
I have seen that quite a bit.
That the comes out. For Netflix, yeah, on Netflix, since we're right? talking about adaptations, that comes out on Monday on Netflix. Limited series, of course, because, you know.
People die.
Why? They don't have 8 seasons in them for Lord of the Flies?
They didn't want to expand it.
Okay.
You know,
the expanded Lord of the Flies universe.
Yeah, they didn't want to do that.
They're waiting on George R. R. Martin to finish writing Lord of the Flies 2.
Yeah. They were like, you know what? Let's just do 4 episodes.
Like, not
that's
this time.
It. Yeah, not this time. Exactly.
Michael, anything else before we wrap it up? We know what that music is.
Glory. Another Netflix. There's a lot of Netflix releases this week. Glory is an Indian series that's based about two brothers that are investigating a murder, but also it's boxing related. It looks very good. Highly recommend.
Thank you, Michael, for the recs and also warning us about other things. Yeah. We're done for the day. Michael Carroll's the host of Comicast. You listen to that wherever you listen to podcasts. He does that with John Lee. Latest issues on the latest episode of Daredevil, Born Again, episode 7, the penultimate episode of season 2. Sean, since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
Flip me over, Mike.
You got it. Flipping away.
John was not at his worst last night, but he was on one like he always is.
Yeah, he was.
We'll talk to you next week.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.